wipe my eyes and my nose after that. We've been friends for so long. So grateful for them and what they've meant to us and our family. They've got to. Is that going to make too much back noise? Okay. I want to bless the fathers who are here. How many fathers do we have? Would you each raise your hand? Let me see. Oh, we've got quite a few guys here. I just want to pray a prayer that God has put on my heart. And I've prayed something similar to it at special times before. And God just quickened it to my heart a moment ago. I pray, Father, that you would bless each one of these men who raised their hands. God, they worked hard. They've lived before us. They've turned the ways that they've known to turn. And when you've spoken to the heart, they would take the next corner and turn it. Their direction, Lord, has been from you. And we thank you that the days to come, they will be even stronger than they've ever been before in their lives. Strong in body, strong in soul, strong in spirit. Lord, I pray that you would bless their sleep. You would bless them as they wake in the mornings. You'd bless them as they come in. You'd bless them as they go out. God, that you would bless everything that they have, all of their possessions. That you would break any timidity and you would release boldness in every one of their lives for these days. Change in people's lives and direction for this church and the kingdom of God for your glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, brothers. Amen. This is going to be a little different for Father's Day. A little different. And I just want you to kind of stay with me as I begin to move through here. Now, Father's Day, generally you think of we just get together and thank God for fathers. Sometimes we don't really look to the future. And what I'm wanting to do today is sort of help us maybe look to the future as fathers, and not just male fathers and fathers with children. I'm talking about fathering also. Yes. I'm talking about each one of us recognizing a call on our lives to father other people, But particularly, I want to address biological fathers. That's particularly what's in my heart to address. I want to talk about the end time mandate for fatherhood. And you know, the history of Father's Day in the United States started off June the 9th, 1910. And it happened in Spokane, Washington. This lady had a burden to recognize and honor fathers because she had been moved by the honoring of mothers on Mother's Day, and she was pushing for a Father's Day in the USA. But this was the first one recorded, at least. And then on the third Sunday of June in 1966, President Lyndon Baines Johnson issued a renewable executive order. It had to be renewed every year, that on the third Sunday of June we would have Father's Day, but it had to be renewed. Then in 1972, Richard Nixon, President Nixon, signed the bill into law, that same bill, signed it into law that it would indeed be on the third Sunday of June every year. That's sort of the history of Father's Day here in the United States. I took a message of fathers. I had maybe three or four messages to Ukraine. And there is such a need for fatherhood all over the world right now. And there is something happening in the world that I think we really need to be aware of. And I would like for you to turn with me with the time that we have. I'll try to get all of this in and listen to the Holy Spirit at the same time. You know, in Malachi 4, I didn't give the notes to have it on the screen, but if you've got your Bibles, you turn with me there, please. And I'm going to read the last few verses, I think four verses or three verses of it. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb when all Israel with the statutes and the judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And when is this going to happen? Before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. It's an event. Somehow there's going to be that spirit of Elijah that's going to move upon the body of Christ before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. I believe it's going to be a movement. I believe it's going to be like a revival. It's going to be like a fresh thing that God is doing in the world, because I believe this has got to happen. Now listen as he goes on. Before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers, and the hearts of the children and the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Now, when we look at this, we see that the breach has been between fathers and children. The breach has been there. What has happened in this breach? What's going on with the breach? Let me talk about it for just a moment. In Psalm 78, I'm going to read the first few verses, and if you'd like to turn to Psalm 78, you don't have to, because I'm going to read it. Listen to what he says. I'm going to start with verse 5. No, I'm not. I'm going to start with verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they might arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Now, we're living in a time when fathers' spirits are not right before God. We've seen so many changes in our nations. We've seen so many changes in the world that are anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Jesus, moving away from the things of God, declaring something new every day that is in opposition to the ways of God, opposition to his character. That is happening everywhere right now. It has come to the United States, to my surprise, in such force and so quickly that it has shocked so many people. But the issue has been that there has been a breach. There's been a breach. The fathers have not passed on to the sons and the daughters, not passed on to the, they didn't pass them on to the sons and the daughters. I knew back in the 70s that something was going wrong when I looked at our educational system and I saw these new ideas being put into the educational system, and I told my wife back then in the 70s, it won't be long until we have seen such a change in our nation, because they're waiting for the next crop of people who will come out of universities and have their children who start to school, and in that time we will see a change in our nation toward whoredom and every other sin in the world. We'll see it. It's happening now. Now, not only that, when we look at what's happening in the other nations, we're having it pretty easy here in the States. This is a funny Father's Day message. Hang on with me, because we've got to get somewhere. It's before that great and dreadful day of the Lord that God's going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. Yeah. It is going to happen. It's not just suddenly one day we're going to be, to me, I'm not, don't get me wrong. I think we're looking for someone to deliver us from any difficulties, any persecution. I don't see it that way. If so, God's going to have to apologize to the people in Iran, Iraq, and those other nations right now. We're already over 100,000, maybe 200,000 Christians have either been burned or drowned or beheaded or shot to death over there simply because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I had my shoes shined at the airport yesterday, and an Ethiopian believer was shining my shoes. I saw it on him, and I saw a little pin on him. And I thought, he's a believer. So I began to talk to him about it. What are you doing in the States? He said, you know what I'm doing in the States? I'm a believer. And some of us ran for our lives. Because on our border, right now, they're cutting heads off of Christians. Just yesterday in the airport. How do you believe that? Was that yesterday or the day before? The day before when we flew in. And I talked with this guy. He did a really good job shining my shoes. I've never seen a job. Look at this. You can see them shining. You can see them shining from there. He shined those things, and he talked. But here's the point. The point is there's something going on in the world right now that's not happening to that degree here. Turn with me to Matthew 24. And then we'll get on with it. Matthew 24. Because the breach has really come because we fathers have not had, it's not necessary, don't put the blame on you. This thing has been happening now for several generations that we have failed to pass on. That's what the scripture says over in Psalm 78, that we failed to pass it on. Now let's bring the timing in to chapter 24 of Matthew. This is the Olivet Discourse. This was his last days on earth in his physical body. And he said he answered a question. Look at verse 3. He said, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And he answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. The nation will rise against nation and kingdom against nation, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many prophets will rise up and deceive many, and lawlessness will abound, and the love of many will grow cold. And he who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world, a witness to the nation, and then the end will come. Now you can read on and see that then there's going to be the desolation of abomination of desolation, and then you're going to see looking on down, and verse 29 says, and immediately after the tribulation, in those days the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then he ends it by saying, and then he will send his angels in verse 31 with the great sound of a trumpet, and he will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. Now let me tell you something. The believing body of Christ, we who are believers, will not suffer the wrath of God. That is a firm promise in the Word. But Jesus Christ didn't say before he is coming, before the sounding of the trumpet, before he sends the angels, before we are taken up, he didn't say we wouldn't go through difficulties. And I believe that we can take what's happening in the world right now as a sign that it is time for us to see the breach healed between the fathers and their children. Because that's what he said. Remember, that's what we read in Malachi. That this would happen before that great and terrible day of the Lord. The great and terrible day of the Lord is going to come after some difficulties that's happening in the body of Christ worldwide. We see it happening in the United States right now. There's an anti-Christian group, large group of people moving in our nation, moving in the area of politics, moving in the area of law to do everything they can do to discredit Christianity. And I believe that we may have some days, except by the grace of God and a fresh move of God, we may have some days of persecution that we've already beginning to experience at one level or another. I'm just saying, I'm trying to get you ready. You hear me? Yeah. I'm trying to say, let's wake up right now, because the time has come that we would turn our hearts to our children. And it might be because the hearts of your fathers weren't turned toward you. And the hearts of their fathers weren't turned toward them. But it is now time, not for blame, it is now time to move from where we are to the next step that God wants, which is a fresh move of God in the world. And it could start right here in this place. It's got to start somewhere. Why not here? You got it? Hallelujah. What do children want from the fathers? What do fathers want from the children? I like a card. I like a little gift. I'd like a phone call. I like appreciation. Don't you like appreciation? I loved what you did. I loved your appreciation for fathers here. We want appreciation. But we want it for individually, so for our own children. Like a phone call. And we get it. That is what we like. That's sort of what we want to see happen. We want a gift. We want a hug. I want a text. Send me an email. Say, I love you, Dad. Or just grab me and hug me up and say, Dad, I love you. And squeeze you real tight. I want that. I want that expression of honor. My son, wow, he just sent me a note. I was going to read something off my phone, and there it popped up. This is not planned. Look at this, happy, see, you can't see the blue. You can see the blue at the bottom of the phone. It's happy Father's Day, and he put a Cadillac, picture of a Cadillac. No, he's not giving me one. He said, this looks like a good one, he said. Anyway, I didn't mean to get off on that. But I want to get over here to, when my son, it was 56 now, was 26 years old, or 25, he left his wife and little girl and went into the gay community. And for 27 years, up until 4 years ago, my wife and I prayed for him. 27 years. Were there times whenever we gave up? Yeah. There were times when I said, I don't even want to open my mouth to God about this boy anymore. He was into drugs. He was into everything. Living for himself, 27 years. And about 4 years ago, he came back. He's come back strong. He came back with kidney failure. He's on dialysis. They just put him on the list for a transplant for his kidneys. You say, well, who wouldn't be sold out to God in that situation? But no, he really is sold out to God. Amen. He really is. He's in church right now. He does dialysis himself at night to himself, peritoneal or whatever they call it, and through the stomach, and so that he can have his days free. He serves me and my wife. He's over at the house doing whatever he can do. Serving us. He's at church every time the doors open. He's talking to people about Jesus. And I believe he's going to be a voice to his, I believe he's going to be a voice to his generation. But here's something that happened about a year ago. We were out of town, and I'd sent him a note. I said, "Son, I love you. This is appreciation, the reason I'm reading this." And I said, "Son, I love you, and I'd just like to encourage him. Let him know God still has a plan for his life. Do you believe that?" "I believe that. God still has a plan for his life. Maybe not the first plan, but a plan." So I just encouraged him, told him I loved him. And he wrote me this back. I'm going to read it, quote, "That makes my nose burn." That's a family, maybe the rest of us do. When we want to cry, our nose begins to burn. That's what, "It makes my nose burn. I feel the same way about you." Talking about the note I sent him. "It's as if we've recently been introduced to each other for the first time, and I really like the guy I've met." I feel like the devil tried to rob us of something very special. Seriously, I'm experiencing feelings and desires I suppose most men have. I've just never had them before. For example, I've never been hunting with you in the past. I've always been okay with that and wanted nothing to do with it. Not anymore. I want to experience it all. I'm looking forward to your return for so many reasons, but most of all, just to hang out and get to know you more. It just occurred to me that that's what I said to my Heavenly Father. It's what He wants too. Wow, you're such an example of His love for me. Thank you." Now that's a Father's Day present right there. Yeah. I love it. That's what it's like. We want to be we like to be appreciated. But what do our children want? Our children want encouragement. Our children are, they want a place that they feel safe and comfortable. They want a place where they can have fun. They want daddies to be such toward them that they will know that they'll never leave, that they never hear the words come out of their mouth saying to their mother, "I'm going to divorce you and leave you and never come back." They don't want to hear those words. What they want from daddy is words of comfort, words of strength, words of stability, words that will help them get planted. Excuse me. They help them get planted in the things that God wants for their lives. They don't even know that yet. They want security. That's what they want. They want someone to have fun with them. My wife and I she showed me a video this week. She showed me a video. It was about this Swedish delicacy that comes in a can, sort of like a round sardine can, except it's taller. And they've got a special name for it. It is bad. It's bad stuff. It has been declared, oh, thank you so much. It has been declared by the Japanese health, whatever, as being the smelliest food. It's called Viking food. And they've had it for years. It's an old tradition in Sweden. And if you just pop the can, they say, don't. This is truth. I'm telling you. I researched it after I saw the TV thing, the video. I researched it. It is true. They say, do not open it in your house. If you're going to try it, get your can opener and get outside where the wind is blowing. Because it is so bad. Now, what I saw in the video was that this daddy is sitting at the end of the table. And there's three or four children there. And he's saying to them, now this is supposed to be bad stuff, but we're going to open it, we're going to try it out, and kind of see how we can take it. We want to see if we can endure this and even try to taste it. Well, when he put that opener on there and clamped down on it, just that one break, it went like that. it's got some kind of a fizz in it. It's herring that has been fermented, that has been fermented, spoiled, buried, raised again, whatever else, and put in a can. It's salty, so salty you can hardly stand it, and it fizzes when you open it, they said. And so here these kids were around the table, and Daddy's doing this for fun. You understand? It's Daddy with them. Daddy! And the Daddy will watch it, and he goes, and they go, oh, 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 and all these kids are gay, like, and they kind of get it all straightened out, you know, and Dad's having the same problem, and they're laughing. They finally break into laughing. He gets the can open it up, and one of them goes, "Ooh!" It's just, it's bad stuff. But they laughed like they fell out of their chairs on the floor. They had never smelled anything that bad, and they had more fun doing that they'll remember that for the rest of their lives with their daddy, you know. With their daddy. I remember sitting on the bank of a small lake, Lawn, Texas, in the West Texas. My dad had taken me fishing for the first time in his life, in my life. I was just a kid. I remember we had cane poles. We put those cane poles out there and fishing, and I slid right up beside my daddy. I could feel his leg. We were both holding our poles out there. And I said, "Daddy, I love you." And he said, "Son, I love you too." Put his arm around me. And about that time, caught a fish. Like that. You know, it's these times that we remember. That's what I believe God is looking for this. And what does God desire? God desires that we live in such a way that we can express his nature and his character to our children. That we were, you know what I believe? I believe the most important thing in the life of a dad is to be a truly born again worshiper. Yes. You know what I mean, born again? Yes. Worshiper. Because as a believer, there's something's got to happen in our lives that our eyes open up to the fact that the presence of God is the most important thing in our lives, and that worshiping him and magnifying his name is the most important thing that we can do. I'm not talking about just an outer action. I'm talking about from the heart that we're lovers of God. And that thing right there will change a family's life faster than anything else. My daughter never sinned in her whole life. Anyway, she has 5 children. They're all grown now, married. We have 12. I reversed it. It's going to make it sound bigger than that. We have 12 great-grandchildren. And every one of them are sold out to God. I kept saying, "God, how is that happening?" Now, Gary, her husband, my brother-in-law, my son-in-law. Hey, Sybil, come up here and hold me by the arm. Now, my brother-in-law, my son-in-law, I mean, he got saved as a young man and has pursued God all of his life. And his main message is prayer. He can preach on prayer, share on prayer from one end of the book to the other. He's just been a man of prayer, a man of worship. Came into Shady Grove Church when worship broke out there, and he was just born into worship. My daughter was born into worship. It was just one of those believable times. Thank God for it. And they raised those kids, and let me tell you what they did that made a difference. This is what God wants. I believe it. Something like this. There were two rabbis talking one time about Shabbat. doing Saturday, their Saturday, Day of the Lord, rest. And one rabbi said to the other one, isn't it something that we Jews have kept the Shabbat, has kept the Sabbath, and that's kept us together? And the other rabbi looked at him and said, no, I think that the Sabbath has kept us. That it's not that we've kept the Sabbath that's kept us a people, but that the Sabbath has kept us. And my daughter and son-in-law begin doing a Friday night meal. They call it the Shabbat meal. It's not exactly like Jews would do it. It's all just not law. It's a love feast. It's a love feast that they have on Friday evenings together. Oh, they love it. And they honor the wives. They honor the wife. They honor the children. And there's prayer said over the wives. And the children stand up and quotes the last part of Proverbs 31, you know, about their mom. And there's tears flowing everywhere. And this is every Friday night. And you couldn't keep those kids away from the Friday night meal. You can't keep them away from it. And now then in their own families, they do the same thing. They're not Jews. It's not legal. It's not law. It's a love feast that they have. And that thing has the worship in that time. They all play musical instruments. Well, I think the girls don't. The girls don't. But all three guys all play instruments, and they're all worshipers. And they worship at the feast that night, at the Shabbat feast. And they worship all the time, and they just they're praying. It's just prayer and worship will keep your children. That's what God wants to see. If I were to say, what is God's desire? God's desire is that fathers would be worshipers and be such an example of God's presence and walking in the presence of God that the children would want what they see. And out of that life of praise and would be proper discipline, would be proper order in the house. I'm not talking about running all love and running loose and anybody do what they want, but everything is proper according to the word, done in the right spirit and everything else. That's what God wants in the family today, guys. That's what he wants. But there is a breach. Something has happened from fathers to father to generation, and it hasn't been happening. And God is saying now it is time for us to break loose. He wants us to mirror God to our children. And if we'd be willing to do that and we'd say, God, I want to do it, but I can't quite seem to get started in this whole thing. What happens is that if we don't do this, children will become bitter. And the next thing you know, we pass on unhealthy attitudes to our children. And they get bitter and they get upset and they're raised. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to have anything to do with God. And the next thing you know, these unhealthy attitudes has multiplied in their lives and in the lives of other people around them. And the scripture just says that this kind of thing will lead to iniquity being passed on to the third and fourth generation. Now somewhere it's got to stop. And we stopped it in our generation. Jerry stopped it, my daughter stopped it in their generation of children, and we have to give ourselves and be intentional with making this thing stop in our generation, men. We've got to make it stop. It's up to us. We're the men of the family. We're the husbands of the house, and we can make it stop. But we can't make it stop as long as we have the same issues in our lives that we received from the generation before us. And sometimes the reason that men in the church today are not even more on fire than they are is simply because they're still walking around with wounds that come from the past. And I believe the father wound is one of the greatest wounds that a daughter or a son can receive. It's a father wound. A father not paying attention to them. A father not being a godly father. A father that's just not walking in the things of God. I'm telling you that these things can cause there to be can to cause this wound in them to go on and on. And I don't mean that you even have to plan on wounding someone with your words or with your action. You can just be an absent father. And whenever I was thinking about this absent, being an absent father, it doesn't mean we're not there. My dad was at home all the time, but he wasn't there. I've been at home reading, and Sybil would come in and talk to me, and she said, "You're not here, Olin. Hello? You're not here. Talk to me." I put down my book, and I, "Yes, what do you want?" I was there. But I wasn't there before, but I was there. And sometimes fathers can be present and still be absent. Because we got so many things that's going on in our minds, and we don't know, we don't have time for the family. Boy, I wrestled with that. Had to come to a place when I said, "No, we're not going to do that anymore. I'm just not going to be that way. I've got to give time to the family. The family is the most important thing. Our children is the most important thing. Passing this on to the next generation is the most important thing. We're thinking about the kingdom now. We're not talking about what would be really comfortable for us necessarily. We're talking about the kingdom. We're talking about the call of God upon our lives. Do you know that I believe there's four words for love. And I can take just another few minutes. May I? Can I do that? I shouldn't ask that, but I really would like to. I want to share this with you. There's four words of love, and you know all of this. The first word is storge. You know that one. Storge is related more, if I could just boil it all down to one point, it's related more to the natural kind of love that a mother has for children when they're born. Something that some animals don't have that kind of love. They're not born with a love for their offspring. Ostrich is one of them. And they're not born with a love for their offspring. But mamas are born with that love. That's storge. The next love is phileo love. It's like, I'm just giving the simplest definition for the purpose of this message, that that kind of love is a love of the, like, brotherly love. It's an intentional love. You really walk into it and make that happen. So that's where daddy comes in. Dad has to come into the circle between mom and child and join hands and say, "I'm present. I'm with you. I'm part of the family." And what dad has to put into the family is then imparted into the family. For this reason, the next word is eros, which often is related to sensual love. I have counseled many, many people over the years, and people with having sexual problems and infidelity and things like that. And one of the things, when I talk to them, I'll say, why are you doing this? I don't know why. Well, let me ask you about your dad. And then they'll just freeze up sometime, almost get angry, bitter. What's wrong? Well, my dad didn't care. Oh, what happens is when daddies don't come into the circle and give that male type love, particularly to women and men as well, and give that and impart that, they will be looking for love somewhere else. And never have that emptiness filled up because of the father wound that was in their heart. And so eros takes hold of them at that age when everything begins pumping in people's lives, physical bodies. Then they find themselves, not one person satisfies, but another. That one didn't satisfy and another. And they look for this all the time. What God intends is that we develop agape love, the kind of love that has no requirement to it. It's a total love. You don't have to earn it. I just love you. It's this unconditional love that God has for us, that God wants to develop in us through those loves, storge, through phileo, through eros, and because we're healthy, because the dads in the family have been healthy and have entered into the circle, because of that, we are a healthier family, and therefore we can each one and as a family show agape love to the people around us, where you don't have to return my love for me to love you. I'm going to love you whether you love me or not. And so I began intentionally working on bringing my son back into the kingdom, because I had been an absent father. And I began to say, I'm going to call him every Saturday morning, whether he likes it or not. And you believe every Saturday morning he would pick up the phone. And I wasn't going to talk to him about anything except, what are you doing? How's your work going? How are you feeling? Whatever things like that. I never brought up his lifestyle. He did. Every single Saturday. He was Dad, you know, I know I shouldn't be. I said, son, don't say anymore. I want you to know I love you just like you are. You don't have to do anything for me. You can be a homosexual the rest of your life, and I'm going to love you just as much as I love you right now. And I want you to know that. I will love you that. So you can come and fellowship with me all you want to come and fellowship with me, and you just come on, because I'm going to love you. And I'm not putting any restrictions on you. I believe that God is wanting us to express that agape kind of love that comes through a father already entering into the family, into the circle, and producing people with a love for other people. We can walk around with agape love, and you can say to someone, like I said to one guy who was a deacon, was so mad at me, he got out in front of the church. Hey guys, I've got scars. You ever been, you know what scars are? I heard one guy say, I don't have a few scars, I'm a walking scar. This guy, we were going through the things in the early times of Shady Grove, and these deacons were mad at me. Well, three of them out of the five were mad at me, and one of them just met me outside the church building, and he's just like, and his nose was flaring like this, and he was just doing this, and it punching me in the chest like that. I'd been out of police work for about 4 years at that time. I was still a 32-year-old man. And he was accusing me. And I said, you can keep on hitting me. If you're trying to get me to hit you, I'll never do it. I said, Mr. Bush, if this had been 4 years ago, I'd kill you. That's what I told him. I said, been 4 years ago, before I came to know the Lord, I'd kill you. And I could do it right here with my hands. But I said, I got saved. Jesus made a lover out of me. And I love you, Mr. Bush. You can kick me. You can knock me on the ground. You can stomp on me, whatever you want to do, but I'm not going to fight you. I love you. God's wanting to bring we men to this place where we can love with agape love. Yes. I want to pray that for some of you, whenever you think of what's been going on in your life of bitterness or whatever else, if there's a father wound, if that thing comes up, listen, I'm talking to you personal. I probably wouldn't preach this anywhere else, but I'm preaching it to you. Well, I would change it up some. I wouldn't be so personal. But I went to my dad because I heard Bill Gothard, a teacher, say, whenever there's an issue between you and your dad or your mom, parents, go to them and ask for forgiveness, but say nothing about their how they hurt you. Don't go and say, Dad, you know, you did this and you did that and you hurt me. You didn't have time for me. You hurt me, or whatever things. No, don't do that. Just go and say, as honestly as you can, Dad, I know I wasn't the easiest kid to raise. I could have certainly been a better son. Would you please forgive me? Bill Gothard, the teacher, said, all you got to do is get an answer from him. Yes or no. And you'll be released. And I went to my dad and I did that. And I said, Dad, would you forgive me? And he said, oh, son, you know, you're forgiven anyway. And I said, no, Dad, I need to hear you say yes or no. Oh, son, you know, it was so hard for him. You know, yeah. I said, no, no, Dad, please. Hear me. Will you forgive me? Yes or no? And he said, yes, son, I forgive you. And it came together just like that. And the bitterness and the resentment, it doesn't have to be bitterness, just resentment in my life would go back to there. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that, guys, if you have this in your lives, that you would go to them. If they're already passed on, that you just take it to the Lord and say, God, Lord, I just want to release it. He's with you, or he's wherever, but he's passed on. But I want to come to you, and God will release you. Or go to some other guy and tell him and say, hey, you know what? They'll pray for you. And I want to pray for you for that very thing. And then I want to pray for you for one other thing too. I believe there's two issues. So Father, I pray that anyone here, any person, that when they think of their dads, a little anger or bitterness or resentment comes up, that you would put it on their heart, give them a plan in your timing to go to their dad and to get it straightened out. Just to ask forgiveness. There are things we can ask forgiveness for and be real. And that's what I want to happen. And then lastly, I think going to her father's, getting that washed through, getting healed from the father wound, and secondly, have a father's blessing. Many men have never been blessed by their fathers. I remember the day that I went to my dad and I. Dad came to church, and we had an elders meeting, and it was the wildest thing you've ever seen in your life. My dad was a Baptist pastor, and it was the wildest thing you've ever seen. Our elders meeting, we were worshiping, throwing our hands up in the air. There weren't but about eight of us in a room, and we were going for it. And I thought, God, this is going to run my dad off. Now, my dad had been at odds with me about my doctrine on the baptism of the Holy Spirit for years. And I thought, this is the wrong time for this to happen. We walked out of that room, got in the car to go to lunch. My dad looked at me. He said, son, when I was a younger man pastoring, I had the opportunity to go the way you've went, the way you've gone. And I didn't take it. And I wish I had. Wow. That's all it took. That's all I needed to hear. It's got to be right between dad and kids. It's got to be. So the father wound, we prayed for it, but sometimes you've just not received the blessing of a father. Jesus received it. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. In the Old Testament, they laid hands on people and prayed for them all the time. In the New Testament, we've given the same thing, both in 1 and 2 Timothy and in Hebrews chapter 6, laying hands. It's a doctrine of the church, laying hands. And I want to lay hands on any man that's never had your father's blessing. I got mine. My daddy said, I'd have gone that way if I had it to do over. That was it. Got a blessing. So I'm going to ask you just to stand. If you ladies wouldn't mind just sitting and let the guys who want to come down here, or you can stand if you want to stand. Let everyone stand. That way you can get out. Any man that wants to lay hands on you and pray a Father's blessing over you, just come on down right now. Come on down. I'll start at one end and I'll go to the other. I want to give each one of you an opportunity to come. Because many people have never had this. Never. Many. I know that I can't stand in for your dads in the sense of as a person. But as a minister, under the anointing of God, I can pray the Father's blessing. Not my blessing, although you have my blessing. But I can pray the Father's blessing on you. That's the blessing you need. Because we've given our fathers already, right? And pray the Father's blessing and my blessing as well. But it's going to be the Father's blessing on you. You ready? Anyone else? Any more men? Father, I pray for your anointing to come upon this man. And Father, as the dove came down, the Holy Spirit descended, and the voice of the Father came and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So Lord, I lay hands on this man and I bless him. I bless him richly. Bless him in his spirit. I bless him for his future days. I bless him, Lord, for a clear conscience. I bless him, Lord, that this is a new day, right this very moment, a new beginning. So I bless you and encourage you. The dream that's on your heart, go for it. In the name of Jesus. You're a full cup, ready to run over. You just don't know where to run over to. And I mean out of the cup. I don't mean a physical place, but where to go spiritually in your heart. So I release that hope, that spirit to you now in the name of Jesus, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. Receive it. Receive it, Lord. I lay hands on my brother and release the anointing of God upon him. And the Father would say to you, my brother, the Father is